If you've been following this program, you know that every now and again we like to bring you stories about people who make a difference, often by taking a simple idea and turning it into something extraordinary. We call them ordinary Oprahs. But really, there's nothing ordinary about these people. A woman who built and funded a school in a rural Ethiopian village from her salary as a manicurist, or a public school teacher who, along with his students, has raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for underfunded schools across the U.S. Today, we want to tell you about Maya Ajmera. She's a young philanthropist who believes that small amounts of money can reap big rewards. She's the founder of the Global Fund for Children. It's a nonprofit that gives small grants to grassroots organizations around the world that provide education, health care, and shelter to poor children. Maya Ajmera joins me now in our Washington studios. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So before we start talking about the Global Fund, could we talk a little bit about you?
Sure.
And I know you don't love to talk about you, but I think it helps. Talk to me about how you came up with this crazy idea.
Sure. Well, my parents are originally from India, and I was brought up in Eastern North Carolina in Greenville. And I had a very interesting growing up years of growing up in the South in the 70s, in the time of when busing became a big deal. And my summer holidays were spent in India with my extended family. So I saw two very different cultures and trying to navigate both cultures as a child. And I was one of those typical Asian kids that was supposed to go to med school. But I had an incredible opportunity where I was given a fellowship, the Rotary Fellowship, that allowed me to travel to South and Southeast Asia. And when I got to India, I had great professors who said to me there, if you really want to know people and understand them, visit the grassroots. I said, okay. So I got my backpack and I traveled throughout South and Southeast Asia for a year. And I like to tell the story where I had my moment of obligation in my life. I got off a train in a town called Bhubaneswar, India. And if you've ever been to India and been to a train station, there are trains whizzing by, thousands of people. It's chaotic. And I got off at this train station. It was a hot, dusty day. And I saw 40 kids sitting in a circle learning how to read and write. And there was this teacher in the middle teaching them literacy through flashcards. And I was amazed by what I was seeing. And obviously, these kids looked very poor. So I went to the teacher and I started speaking in Hindi. And she spoke in the native language of Oriya. But somehow we were able to communicate through this other guy who was able to translate for us.
What did you think was going on, by the way?
You know, I knew it was a school of some sort, but what I wasn't sure about was, who are these kids? Why were they here? And what was even more amazing was these kids with their baby siblings sitting next to them, you know, sitting so quietly. I mean, if you could see a one-year-old or a two-year-old sitting quietly, you know, and also seeing their determination to learn among this chaos was extraordinary to me. So I asked the teacher this, and she said, these children live on and around the train platform. They don't go to school. They work, they play, they beg, they eat, they sleep here. And she said a teacher named Inderjeet Khurana said instead of getting these kids to school, she was going to bring the school to the children. I said, well, what does it take to run one of these schools? How much does it cost? She says, it costs about $400 for 40 kids and two teachers. And it was that moment that I had my moment of obligation. How do you get small amounts of money into the hands of extraordinary grassroots organizations and help them scale and replicate their work?
So goodbye medical school.
Goodbye medical school. I went to Duke. I was on my way to the public policy program, and my mentor said, do you really want to go to med school? I said, no, what I really want to start is the Global Fund for Children. And it was there at the school that I learned about foreign aid and USAID and the World Bank, and I just wanted to turn foreign aid upside down on its head.
And your
basically.
Idea was really to go back to that school on the train platform, get the money to that teacher.
to that organization, to that grassroots organization led by extraordinary social entrepreneurs.
We're going to take a short break. We're going to continue our conversation with Maya Ajmera, founder of the Global Fund for Children, in just a moment. We'd like to ask if you know an ordinary Oprah you'd like to tell us about. Somebody who's doing great things without an Oprah-sized wallet. No disrespect to Oprah, of course, but you get the point. Let us know. Go to the Tell Me More page at npr.org or call 202-842-3522. That's 202-842-3522. Plus, we talk with Chef Jeff Henderson. That's next on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we talk with Chef Jeff Henderson about his new reality show on the Food Network. But first, we're going to continue our conversation with Maya Ajmera. She's founder of the Global Fund for Children. It's a nonprofit organization that makes grants to grassroots organizations that work with some of the world's most deprived children. Since 1997, the organization has distributed more than $7.6 million to 270 organizations in 65 countries. I asked her how so few people have been able to raise so much money in so little time.
Through private philanthropy, really. A lot of extraordinary individuals who believe that small is beautiful, that small amounts of money can go a very long way, that grassroots organizations are undervalued and undercapitalized. And that is here true in this city of Washington, D.C., to anywhere else rest of the world.
How do you decide who you want to fund?
I love to use the analogy of using a high school baseball coach or a high school recruiter who goes and sleeps at a lot of Super 8 motels and eats at a lot of Denny's restaurants and tries to find the next Babe Ruth. This is what our analysts or program officers do around the world. They are scouts. We go out and search for the best organizations in the world. We don't sit back in our offices getting proposals. We search. And, you know, we ask everyone from the kids on the street, where do you go?
I was going to say, what questions do you ask? I mean, surely you're not going to ask a kid on the street, what organizations do you think are worthy of our funding that we can then leverage into additional, you know, resources?
Right. Well, at least in my work, one of the things I will do is I'll ask street kids, you know, if you need help, where do you go? And they'll point. And sometimes they'll take my hand and we'll go through an alleyway. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, where is this child taking me? And then we come to this oasis of education and healthcare and social services. And then we twist it around. Sometimes we'll visit a group and I'll ask a kid, what do you think of this group? I mean, have you ever heard of it? And they'll go, no. You know, that's not a good, this one's, you know. So we ask the customer, basically.
But it's not necessarily the person who's going to be quickest at returning an email.
That's right. Our grants start at $5,000. And up to 20,000. And the amount of due diligence we do to select a grassroots organization is the same amount of work it would take to give $1 million away.
To date, the Global Fund has donated, if I have this right, about $11 million to over 350 organizations in 66 countries. And of course, your efforts were highlighted by former President Bill Clinton in his efforts to his sort of annual effort to showcase philanthropic and world improving efforts around the world. They're not all just sort of philanthropy. What are some of the things you're proudest of?
Well, when I step back and think, my goodness, our very first grants in 1997 were $3,000. And that first grant we made was to the Train Platform School. And to see where we're going for the future gets me very excited. I mean, our goal is to give away $10 million to over 600 NGOs serving the most vulnerable children and youth in the world. And my dream of all dreams is to bring all of these NGO partners someday all together to create one of the biggest voices for the world for children. I mean, our network is becoming quite dense around the world, and that's very powerful.
You also publish children's books.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
Sure. I'll go back this a little bit on the story now. I told my mentor, I want to start the Global Fund for Children. I want to give these small amounts of money to all these worthy grassroots organizations around the world. But I also want to create a children's book publishing venture. And he said, tell me about it. I said, well, I want to teach children in this country, in the United States, about the global village that they live in. And it was probably a very positive, neurotic force for me to do this because growing up in Eastern North Carolina, books were my friends, but I never found books teaching me about other kids in other countries. The best I could find was Tintin, and I thought he wasn't right on the mark on some of his stuff. So the first book we created was Children from Australia to Zimbabwe. It's a photo-illustrated book, A Journey Across the Alphabet to 26 Countries. Marion Wright Edelman of Children's Defense Fund wrote the foreword to it. And it's a very interesting story. You know, all our books are photo-illustrated, and we wanted to show positive images of children. I always felt that the images we saw of children in the developing world were always the big-bellied,
flies.
And there's more to children than just their suffering. There's a lot of resilience, beauty, culture. I wanted to get that to the mainstream. The interesting story about Children from Australia and Zimbabwe was nobody wanted to publish the book in New York. We were turned down by every publisher. So what I did in North Carolina is I convinced some funders saying, if you give me some money to self-publish the children's book, I will donate 3 copies to every public school in North Carolina. And I got a book out of Barnes & Noble and read about self-publishing, hired an editor, hired a designer, and did the book myself with a co-author. And we actually donated the copies in 1996 to every public school in North Carolina. We had about 5,000 copies left over, and we sold them through a local distributor in North Carolina. And those sold out. So the same publishers that had said no to us came back and said, we want this book and all your others. And I actually said, well, I think I don't want to work with you guys. I think I want something more innovative. I want Global Fund for Children to create its own imprint. And today we have over 22 children's books in the marketplace, and we have over 500,000 books that have been sold and over 2 million readers.
Making the world smaller.
Yeah.
And raising some money.
Yeah.
At the same time. So,
yes.
Maya, so often people think, well, gee, I couldn't do that. I mean, it's great that you can do that, but I can't do that. What do you have some wisdom, some advice for people who want to make a difference, but who don't necessarily
Sure.
think that they can? Or?
I think what I tell people is the one thing you have in your life is your dreams and your passion for those dreams. And you should go for it. Whatever stage in life you're at, plan it and figure out, can I make this work? Am I going to have to leave my job and waitress or be a waiter for a while as well as do this stuff on the side? And there are many foundations who want to make bets on people. If you've got a great idea.
So you didn't become a doctor. How are your folks about that?
Have they forgiven you?
Yes,
they have forgiven me. And as my mother so eloquently says, there is, my son is a doctor, my son-in-law, my husband is a lawyer. And then when people ask her at the dinner party, you know, what does your daughter do? She goes, just read the annual report and you'll understand. You know? They're very proud.
Even though they have no idea what you do,
I think they do, but it is so beyond what my parents ever dreamed of me ever doing. And I think my father once said, "I'm in bit of an awe, you know, of how you've managed to build this."
Maya Ashmera is the founder of the Global Fund for Children. She joined us from our studios here in Washington. If you want to learn more about the organization, we will have a link on our website. Maya Ashmera, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.